101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. A huge thank you to everyone who came out and supported Truth Family Fest 2026. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee, DCWS, AB Core, Ascension, and Tap In MKE for helping making this event possible, and to our vendors, volunteers, listeners, and families for showing up and supporting our community. From all of us at 101.7 The Truth, thank you, Milwaukee. If you are just now joining us, we are talking about mental health. It's Mental Health Mondays. There's a lot that's happening. Obviously, we always have a good time, have real conversations. But again, if you are just now tuning in, there's been a lot that's been going on. And we just need to do a mental health check today, right? We are losing people constantly. There's things happening at work. School is starting back. There's so many different things going on. And everybody is just having a good time, kind of dealing with their own emotions without talking about it. And that's never healthy. So we're talking about work. We're talking about parenthood. We're talking about relationships and friendships and some coping mechanisms or things we can do to kind of work through it. And prior to going to break, I was explaining to parents out there, right? We wear so many different hats, from work to parenthood to all of the above. But have you ever thought about a transition when you move from one thing to the next? So when you get off work, we just hop fully in mother mode or father mode without allowing ourselves a brief moment to say, let me deal with whatever I was dealing with at work in this moment, in this 5 or 10 minutes to myself, so that I can ensure that I don't take that out on my household. And vice versa. When it comes time for you having to drop your child or children off at school in the morning and something happens. Maybe they spilled breakfast all over their uniform and you can't turn around and take them back home. Now you're upset and you go to work, but you haven't gotten out of mommy mode or daddy mode. Now you're taking whatever you're going through out on your coworkers. There has to be some type of transition in between. I want to double back and go back to the work scenario, right? Somebody can hold authority over your position without having to hold authority over your identity. I'm going to say that again. Somebody can have authority over your position without having authority over your identity. Maybe they supervise you. Maybe they evaluate you. Maybe they are senior leadership. Maybe they can assign work. Maybe they can make your professional life more difficult. Those things matter. We should not pretend that power dynamics are not real, but their title does not determine your worth. Their opinion about you does not confirm your identity. Their attitude towards you does not get to rewrite everything that you already know about yourself. And that's important, because when somebody with authority appears to dislike us, sometimes we begin shrinking ourselves before they even ask us to. You start questioning everything. Maybe I shouldn't speak during the meeting. Maybe I shouldn't wear this. Maybe I'm too loud or outspoken. Maybe I'm too confident. Maybe I need to change how I talk, and maybe I should just stop overall sharing ideas. Hold on a minute. We have to separate professional feedback from internalized rejection. This came about because I have a lot of friends who are in call center. They work in a call center, and I've worked in a call center before. And when you are in those type of environments, people genuinely take their titles like to the head, to the chest, all of the above, right? Like in corporate America, the titles is unbelievable in all reality. But I understand that. I know that about that workplace. I know that there is levels and structures, and some people are just used to doing things a certain way. You just got to kind of suck it up, right? So here's some accountability. And again, these are things that has worked for me in the past, and these are things that may work for you. If I receive valid feedback about my performance, I should consider it. I need to. That is called maturity. But if I begin dismantling my personality because I desperately need someone to like me, now we've crossed into something completely different. Everybody ain't gonna like you. And that's one of the hardest forms of adulthood, realizing that being a good person does not guarantee universal approval. You can be kind and somebody doesn't like you. You can be professional and somebody still don't like you. You can mind your business And somehow somebody will still find your business fascinating, right? You'll be like, I wasn't even talking. And they are still irritated. Now what? That's the real question. Because you cannot force somebody into liking you. When you try, you hand them an enormous amount of power. Now your peace depends on whether they smiled today, whether they've spoken to you, whether they've complimented you, whether their email sounded warm. Like, you are literally just emotionally checking their temperature all day. And that is extremely exhausting. So I want to give you something. Stop auditioning for people who have already decided how they want to view you. You understand what I'm saying? They've already made up in their mind how they feel about you, what their prejudgments are of you, and there's nothing you can do. Your story don't matter. Your heart, how pure your heart is, doesn't matter. There's nothing that matters because they're going to think and feel however they choose, and you have to allow them to. You can remain open to legitimate feedback, and you can remain respectful. You can remain collaborative, but stop auditioning. You don't need to perform your innocence every single day. You don't need to code switch 24/7. You don't need to constantly explain yourself unless clarification is actually needed. And this is where we have to learn the difference between being accountable and being controlled by perception. Accountability says, if I'm wrong, I'll correct it. Perception says, I need everybody to see me the way I see myself. That is impossible. It is impossible for you to view yourself, the world, the way that the world views you, right? So let's say somebody at work does something that feels intentionally disrespectful. The first thing you must do is pause, not because you are weak, but because you need a strategy. Emotion wants immediate relief. Strategy wants the best outcome. Those are not always the same thing. I don't care what line of work you are in. If you drive school buses, if you drive a truck, if you're a teacher, if you are a consultant, whatever it is, it applies, especially if you are in corporate America. I worked for a waste management. I worked for the president of the office of the corporate office of Kohl's. I've worked for the city of Milwaukee, an elected official. I've worked for a corporate for many different years, for many of years. And I've had experiences in every role that I had. And I had to take those experiences and learn, right? Which is why I am in the positions I'm in now. Because I had to learn from my mistakes. You've now taken a workplace problem and created evidence for your own emotional involvement because you keep trying to audition. What you should be doing is protecting your future you, right? What does the future me need to do right now? I've dealt with racism in the workplace. I've dealt with harassment in the workplace. I've dealt with egotistic men in the workplace. I've dealt with women who are intimidated by me in the workplace. I've dealt with so much in the workplace. And you would be a fool to sit there and say, that don't happen or that doesn't matter, whatever the case may be, because we're at work during the week spending time with these people more than we are with our own children. Just like our babies are at school, spending time with them more than they are spending time with us. Think about it. By the time you get up and go work an 8-hour shift and you get off of work, you got to pick your babies up, go home and cook, help them with their homework. And next thing you know, they're getting ready for bed. You don't even have time to have a conversation with them. So to assume that the people you're around at work, that it doesn't matter or is not a huge thing. It is, because you are investing your life, your emotions, your mental, everything into this environment for 8 hours a day. So you have to make sure that you are protecting the future you. The future me may need documentation. The future me may need a witness. The future me may need a calm email. The future me may need to go home and sleep before answering or responding to an email. The future me may eventually need to update my resume. But what future me rarely needs is a beautifully written 3-paragraph angry text at 11:38 p.m., right? Saved in your notes, saved on your app, saved in your laptop. And spiritually, this is where restraint becomes powerful, right? We often think power is saying the thing. Sometimes power is being fully capable of saying it and deciding it would serve no purpose. We have Brother Love on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, how you doing? Happy Monday, Dad.
Happy Monday. Thank you so much for tapping in. I was waiting on you to call, Brother Love. What's the word?
Yes. I just want to say you're doing a good job, and this on this mental Monday, I just hope everybody just feel warm and welcome, and just stop the violence.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know, and I just want everybody to feel rejuvenated and exhilarated, and you know, just and let's just start back to being one again.
Yes, absolutely. I second that. How you feeling? How's your mental health today, Brother Love?
Excellent, Jazz. Yes. I think I got my mojo back.
Come on now. That's what we like to hear. Do you have a positive affirmation for today? Typically, we is, you know, I'll say like, yeah. What is yours?
My affirmation is, you know, I'm reading the book Command Your Morning, and I'm just commanding my morning, and I'm just gonna be positive, motivational, inspirational, and I'm just gonna love everybody, because it's enough evil, it's enough violence in the world, and I just wanna bring some good to this world before God call me home.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. I'm going to look that book
all
up.
Right.
Thank you so much for that, Brother Love. When we come back, we are going to finish this conversation. We are talking about mental health in the workplace, parenthood, relationships, friendships, all of the above. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the rails in your mouth. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award-winning 101.7 The Truth at the beautiful American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown Milwaukee. I got my good brother, Brother Z. Meechie Meech is in the building. We are having a conversation today on Mental Health Mondays. This came about because of conversations I've been having all week, well, last week with loved ones, but also just with myself, right? We always have a great time on Tapped In when it comes to real conversations, you know, commentary, kicking back, you know, talking mess, right? But we got to do a mental health check every now and again because people are losing people. You have work. School is starting back. So there's a lot of different things that we are dealing with that we don't necessarily talk about. And I wanted to bring some of these situations up. We've been talking about work, mental health in the workplace. We've been talking about mental health when it comes to parenthood. And we're also going to talk about it when it comes to friendships and relationships as well. Before we get back into this, there is a scripture principle about being slow to speak and slow to anger. And when I'm talking with you all, I'm talking with myself as well when I say this. Whether you are deeply religious or simply spiritually grounded, there's wisdom in that. Slow doesn't mean silent forever. Slow means my emotions don't dictate my timing. And that's powerful because somebody else's chaos should not control when and how you speak. So if you are dealing with a difficult workplace dynamic right now, here's your assignment. Stop asking only, why are they doing this? And ask, what response best protects my peace, my reputation, my work, and my future? So I also want to talk to you all about how you leave a situation physically, but you are still there. And this is across the board, right? We're only utilizing the workspace analogy for right now, but you can't tell me that there hasn't been a situation where something was constantly on your mind bothering you, right? You get home, you take your shoes off, you warm your food up, you know, indulge in whatever activities, you know, me personally, I got to pour me a glass of Prosecco, all right? Everything is technically fine, and suddenly your brain said, you know what you should revisit? Nope, 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 not at all, right? Remember when he said, it brings you to that moment of like when you get into an argument with your spouse and you're like, dang, I should have said that in an argument, right? You start coming up with all different types of versions of what you should have said, but you couldn't think of, you didn't think of it in that moment. When does your brain turn into a podcast producer at night? On episode 47, things Jazz should have said at 10:15 this morning. And then you replay it in different versions, different endings. Now in version 3, you had the perfect comeback, but in version 7, everybody in the meeting was applauding. Stop it. Stop it. This mental replay has a name in psychology when it becomes repetitive, negative thinking. And it feels productive because you're thinking. But thinking and solving are not always the same thing. Sometimes you are not solving anything. You are just reopening the emotional wound over and over, right? So here's the practice, the clock out ritual. I hate the word ritual, by the way. So we're not going to say ritual. We're just going to say the clock out practice. Before you leave work or shortly after your workday ends, do four things. One. Externalize what is unfinished. Write it down. If there's a task tomorrow, write it down. If you need to follow up, write it down. If there's something you need to document, document it. Your brain sometimes keeps recycling information because it's afraid that you'll forget. Putting it somewhere else is reliable. So instead of saying, hey, I got to do that. And I'm not talking about keeping up with your calendar because we already know that. But it's the small things. I need to have a conversation with so-and-so or this is an idea I have. Whatever the case may be, good or bad, write it down and put it up. Ask whether action is possible tonight. Ask yourself that. Is there anything I can do about it right now? If not, then it got to go. If there is a situation that I can't get to by the time I get home that's pertaining to work and I can't do it in that moment, it has to go. It has to leave my mind. It cannot occupy the space in my brain because what that is going to do is force me into feeling a certain way when I get to work the next day, whether that's good or bad, or not being able to focus on what I need to focus on, or being present and not being present. Right? You got your babies at home, your man or your woman, and your mind is just all over the place and you're still not there. You're there physically, but mentally you are still not there because you are so worried about whatever it is else it is that you have going on inside of the workplace, right? Think about this. When actors are done acting, they leave the stage. When athletes are done performing, they leave the basketball court or the stadium. When doctors are done with the surgery, they leave the hospital. And when teachers are done teaching, we leave the classroom. So your body, you have to train your body and nervous system to realize I am not in that environment right now. I am not in that environment right now. And then say a release phrase. I have done what today required. Tomorrow will receive tomorrow's energy. You understand? I have done all I can do for today. I'm going to deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. It's not going to taint my energy. It's not going to take my sleep. It's not going to taint my dinner with my family. I'm going to deal with it when I deal with it. But right now, I have done everything that I can do, and that's going to have to be good enough. And if you are a spiritual person, God, I am releasing what I cannot fix tonight. There's something powerful about saying it out loud because sometimes spiritually we say we trust God while mentally we continue to hold on to the baggage. It's a lot of Erica Badus out here, a lot of bag ladies and bag men constantly walking around, not physically with bags, but it's just so much baggage because you won't let stuff go. Say, God, I put it in your hands. Then 30 seconds later, you actually give it back. Done overthinking. Done beating myself up about woulda, coulda, shouldas. Done replaying things. Done creating. Done working. Just leave work at work. Surrender is difficult because overthinking gives the illusion of control. Surrender is difficult because overthinking gives the illusion of control. If I keep analyzing it, maybe I'll discover something. Maybe I can predict what they'll do, and maybe I can prevent another problem. Those are control issues. That's something that I'm actually dealing with right now. Like being able to, being afraid of the unknown. Not controlling people, but having control over my thoughts to where something got to make sense. Because if the math ain't math, then I'm not sure how I'm going to take it. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So it better make sense to me. That's my thought process. But that's the thought process of someone who has been in survival mode all of their lives since they dealt with things sent to harm them as a child. And now as an adult, we are trying to live. Truth Nation, we are in a space of living, but we're still carrying mechanisms inside of us as if we are surviving. And when you are in survival mode, it's by any means necessary. And people who ain't surviving don't understand it, or people who never had to survive can't relate. That is where the problem lies. Sometimes we've been in survival mode so long that peace feels irresponsible, right? You finally have a quiet evening and your brain starts looking for a problem. What did I forget? Who ain't called me? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You just sitting there. Ain't got nothing to do. Kids gone, spouse is gone, everybody's doing something, and you just at home like, okay, well, what should I do? Should I watch some TV? Should I read a book? Nope, I know what I need to do. I seen this, so let me go back and look at that. That's not feeding me enough weight. Let me think about this conversation from early on this week. I need to respond to that because I didn't like the way I responded to that the first time. Like, you just trying to find anything. Sometimes your nervous system has been conditioned to expect disruption. That's when we have to teach ourselves safety again. I'm home. I'm okay. I handled everything I needed to handle today. Tomorrow isn't here yet, right? And obviously, this does not mean to ignore serious problems. If you are facing certain things, then you need to address it, right? But for ordinary conflict and stress, stop giving 24-hour access to the BS. You have to learn how to train your mind to think the way that you want it to think. Our minds and our tongues are powerful. I'm telling you, what you think, especially if you are a person who can literally manifest whatever it is that you want, your way of thinking and your way and how you speak and the things that you say. That's why I don't like being put in certain situations, because I know what I manifest happens. What I pray for, it happens. So I have to remain at a calm state at all times, right? And I know a lot of people like that. Train your mind to think the thoughts. You have control. You are in power. This is for my people who have racing thoughts 24/7 because you're constantly trying to figure stuff out. I'm the oldest of four siblings. I've been making money on my own since 12, taking care of myself financially. I always had to figure stuff out. So my mind, I have to unlearn and relearn. I have to train my mind not to be in survivor mode. We're going to finish this conversation when we come back. Do not touch that dial. I want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. What's some advice you have when it comes to dealing with mental health? It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. One on 1-7 and Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. Happy Monday, Milwaukee. It is Mental Health Monday. Listen, a lot of us are back to school, back to work. We've also been dealing with death, all types of things. And yes, we have a good time on Tapped In always, but we always have to do the mental health check-in as well. Shout out to all of the listeners. Please do not forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 1017 The Truth. Follow me on social media, The Jazzy Effect. That's THEJAZZIE. EFFECT. Shout out to the chat. Jasmine West said, hey y'all, it was great meeting you. I was talking about you earlier, Jazz. I met my cousin Jazz, y'all. She ain't my real cousin, but she my cousin. We was in that thing like Tupac on Poetic Justice. Cousin! What's up, cousin? No, but shout out to Jasmine West and all of the listeners who stopped by through Truth Family Fest. It was an amazing time. So amazing to put a face with a name. We have to do, you know, more community events so we can be around y'all a little bit more. Shout out to Anita Nicole. She said, let's go, Brother Love. Brother Love called in with some amazing affirmations today. Before we went to break, we were talking about leaving work at work, right? And I'm going to say something that might be funny, but it's so real. Stop bringing people home who aren't contributing to your bills, man. Why is Miss Shirley from work sitting at your dinner table? Your coworker don't need to be in your car with you or in the shower. They definitely don't need to be lying in bed between you and your partner because you are still thinking about what happened at work, people. That's still cheated. You're still thinking about what happened at work, right? So, everybody else is the problem. That's not mental health. When you constantly think that, that's actually immature. That's an episode of Everybody is Jealous of Me Radio. No, we have to look in the mirror, self-accountability, because there's a difference between a boundary and an emotional reaction. What am I talking about? Boundaries versus reactions, right? Y'all know me, once again. I be in the paint all day, like I'm 8 feet tall. Blocked. It got so bad to the point where I didn't block and deleted everybody out of my life at one point. Because I was just like, I don't want to deal with this. I ain't got time for this. My life too peaceful. Block. Not talking to you. I quit. Whatever. The contract over. I don't care. Everybody go. Maybe even you. That's what Cat Williams said. Everybody got to go. Maybe even you. Right? So, I want to play a little, you know, I'm going to say role play.
Damn.
I have some examples, people. I'm going to give an example, and then I'm going to respond with the boundary that you should set. This is for me, too. I'm laughing because everybody that knows me know how I am and how I be and how I get down. And I'm a work in progress, but I've gotten a lot better. I don't just block people just because I'm, you know, anymore. I've committed to not.
Very mindful.
Thank you, Brother Z. And Michi. I promise you. So, instead of giving a reaction that says, don't ever in your life call me again, the boundary will be, hey, I don't answer non-emergency calls after 9 p.m., right? Instead of saying, I'm done with everybody. This my favorite one. I'm done with everybody. Don't nobody call my phone. I don't care who you is. I don't feel like talking. Leave me alone. Instead of saying that, just say, hey, I need some space this week. I got a lot going on. I need a moment to breathe a little bit, and I don't feel like explaining that. I just need space, right? Instead of saying, everybody at my job is fake, what you can say is, I no longer discuss certain parts of my personal life at work, right? I'm cutting her off because she didn't show up for me the way that I expected. Actually, I need to reconsider what level of emotional access that makes sense in this friendship. How much of me am I willing to give to you? See the difference? Boundaries don't always require fireworks, right? 0 to 10, no. Healthy boundaries can be boring, but that's okay. Sometimes there is no dramatic speech. Sometimes you just move differently. You share less. You respond later. Start taking mental notes. When I was talking earlier about being slow to speak, I had to go back to the thought of remembering the last time I said, God, I've changed, or told somebody I've changed. Because every time I do that, I promise you, he sent another test to really see. And I'll be like, you just, for real?
Jesus gonna do it. Jesus gonna do it.
I'm trying to tell you. Thank you, Al. I'm sitting here like, hold on, let me think about this. Every time I say, oh, I've changed, baby. I've come a long way. Here come God. Oh, she didn't change? Go ahead and send her some riffraff.
If God don't do it, it won't get done.
Go ahead and send her something. Let's see if she really changed. Right? You just have to take mental notes of things. Not for that person, but for yourself. How did Jazz react in this moment? How did Brother Z or Meech react in that moment? What can we learn from that moment? Right? Where I'm conflicted is if I get silent, that's worse than when I talk. That's my problem. You should be afraid if I don't say nothing. You should be very afraid if I don't say. You ever seen those movies or those memes that be like, huh? You say something crazy to somebody and they just be like, huh? All right, cool. Like, all right, cool, right? When I get to that point, that's not, I have to train myself to say, hey, Jazz, yeah, it is okay. When you say that, actually mean it's okay, right? Because if I, yeah, all right, cool. Oh, baby, it's a problem. It is a problem. So I say that because it's not the fact that you have to stay silent. It's just how you choose to respond. Shout out to Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., man. He is my biggest reason for not being reactionary. I promise you. This has been for the past 10 years. You can ask him yourself. Say, Jazz, you reactionary, man. Back in the day, I was. I was very reactionary. And sometimes I can be, but I've learned the difference, right? If I ever feel like I'm backed into a corner and I know I didn't do no wrong, you're going to hear it because ain't nobody else going to stand up for you but you. That's in any situation, right? Especially relationships, because people like to flip stuff on you and make it seem like it's you. No, it's not. It's you. Don't ever have a problem with speaking up for yourself. It's just how you do it, right? And here's another one. A boundary controls your behavior, not someone else. Right? So saying you are not allowed to talk to me like that, that's a request or a standard. The boundary is, listen, if you begin to yell at me, I will end this conversation and I'm going to walk away. All right? I'm deciding what I do because I don't control whether or not you yell. I don't control how you react, but I do control how I choose to participate. And if I don't want to participate in the foolishness, baby, I'm going to exit stage left. You better believe it. This is where we have to check ourselves. Sometimes we are calling something a boundary when actually it's a punishment. I want them to feel how much they hurt me. Revenge. Quiet revenge, but revenge, right? Mental health requires the truth. What am I trying to accomplish? What am I protecting myself from? Am I teaching them a lesson? Am I hoping they panic and chase me? Am I trying to regain control? Am I genuinely creating a healthier structure, right? You need to know fact, feeling, story. When something happens, separate those three categories. Fact, my supervisor corrected me in front of the team, the entire team. Feeling, I felt embarrassed and angry. Story, she's jealous and wanted to humiliate me. That story could be true. But notice, fact and story are not identical. My friend didn't invite me. That's a fact. The feeling is, I felt rejected. The story is, she's always secretly competing with me and that proves it. Maybe or maybe not. The person I'm dating hasn't responded to me since this morning. That's a fact. The feeling is I feel anxious and uncertain. And the story is he's losing interest. He met somebody else. He never cared. Baby, by the time we done, we've been done, wrote a whole lifetime movie script in our head. You understand? This is why I'm explaining and separating and on facts and why it matters, because our nervous system doesn't always distinguish between what happened and what we're feeling. We can emotionally react to a story we wrote ourselves, right? That doesn't mean ignore the intuition. And we're going to talk about intuition, but intuition doesn't require panic. If something feels off, notice it, gather information, ask questions if appropriate. Watch patterns, but don't prosecute somebody in your head based entirely on one clue or an assumption. And spiritually, this is discernment. Discernment isn't assuming the worst about everybody. Discernment is asking God, help me see clearly. Not God, validate whatever I've already decided. No, let me take a step back. That's why I said always check me first. Hold on. Am I tripping? Because I know I can trip sometimes. Am I tripping? Right? And if I am tripping, I'm like, yeah, I was tripping. You right. You got it. But if I'm not, you better believe we're going to war. Because I'm going to stand on whatever I know. If I'm not, if I'm wrong, I'm going to say it. If I ain't wrong, baby, listen, we can go toe to toe. You understand? We can go toe to toe. Coming back, we are bringing this back into motherhood because some of the things disturbing our peace aren't malicious at all. They are responsibilities. They are people we love, and they are mothers listening right now who are mentally exhausted and then feel guilty for being mentally exhausted. We are talking about the invisible mental load, the guilt of needing space, and how to stop giving your children the emotional leftovers from everyone else and everything that has happened that day. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. One-on-one-seven in truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community, then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homa Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homa Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. Milwaukee, it's Mental Health Mondays. Shout out to the chat. Shout out to those who are listening. Please do not forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Before we went to break, we were talking about mental health in the workplace. Now we're going to double back into motherhood, right? Because ladies, you can love them and still need some quiet time. So to all the mothers out there and the fathers, this one is for us. I want to normalize something. You can love your children beyond words and still want everybody in the house to stop asking you questions every 15 minutes, right? Remember I said, me, I find my safe space and that's the bathroom. I'm going right to the bathroom. Don't bother me, right? Call my name all you want. I can't do nothing. I'm using the bathroom. Apparently not, but I am in the same breath. Do whatever you need to do to protect your peace from your baby, Sue. Nobody prepares you for how much motherhood or fatherhood is, right? Not doing thinking, remembering, did they eat? When is the appointment? Did I sign a paper? What's happening at school? Did they seem sad? Did they sleep enough? Who is this friend they with? What happened at practice? Dang, they need more shoes? Hold on, you got a cough again? Wait, it got too quiet. They must be up there acting a fool. You are constantly scanning. And if you are a working parent, you are doing this while carrying professional responsibilities. So imagine your brain as a browser, right? You got the work tab. You got the money tab. You got the child one tab, child two tab, sometimes child three, four, five, six, seven tab, relationship tab, groceries tab, bills tab, calendar tab, friend tab, school tab, self-care tab. Think about all of these different browsers, all of these different web pages that's up. What happens? Let's take your phone, for example. Whenever you have too many things up at one time, if you don't swipe it off, it's going to slow down the speed. It's going to slow down your data. Your phone going to start acting funny because you're doing too much. It's too many things up at one time. You got to pick and choose which one is going. Even your phone is telling you that, listen, slow your ADHD down. You got too much going on. Get rid of some of this stuff so that I can have the power that I need. That is your body. Your body is the phone, and those tabs is life. If you don't prioritize and deal with them when you need to and close out of it and then bring it back up, your body is going to eventually shut down. So then when you're dealing with your children, somebody walks in and say, "Mama, have you seen my black hoodie?" And your brain crashes. Then you snap. But not because the hoodie isn't a serious matter, but because, God, that's tab number 37. That's one more thing on my list that I have to think about. This is why regulation matters. One practice I love for parents is verbalizing the boundary before you are completely depleted. So instead of waiting to explode and say, "Everybody just leave me alone," how about say, "Hey, I need 10 minutes to myself. I'm okay. I love y'all. I just need to reset." I do this with my children. My daughter, my oldest daughter, is actually in college right now for psychology. And we practice different mechanisms with each other, right? Instead of when I get frustrated and I get to yelling, I say, "Kennedy, give me a minute, Ladybug." That's what I call her. "Ladybug, give me a minute. Mama, it's been a long day. I work two jobs and it's only me. I just need 1 second," right? My children are allowed to have voices in my home. When we were growing up, you can't voice none of that. No, if my child, Callie, she gonna tell me, "Mom, you're overstimulating me. I don't wanna talk about this right now." And she's 9. She talks just like that. "I don't want to talk about this right now, Mom. You're overstimulating me. My brain cannot take on what you're telling me. I need a break." I'm like, "Okay, Callie, cool. That's fine. Go take a break in your room. I'll back off. I will back off." And that's emotionally healthy for the both. And children learn something from that. They learn that people have needs. They learn that love doesn't require permanent access. They learned that mom doesn't have to be a stepping stool or my personal assistant in everything in order to be a good mother, right? You give everything. You've rested. You always sacrifice. You put everybody before yourself. And then we are surprised when the parent becomes tired. I'm working. I'm putting my children first, putting my job first, really, because I got to pay these bills. I'm doing all of this stuff. And when you look up, it's like, "I don't have no energy for nobody. I just need a break." You are a person. You are a human. Self-sacrifice may be a part of parenting, right? Self-sacrificing may be a part of parenting, but it does not have to define your parenthood. You can also, again, for those who are spiritual, pray. You can also pray. Some people's entire prayer life is an intercession for everybody else's life. "May God protect my babies. May God protect my family. May God help my friend. May God heal my mama. May God cover my partner." But what about you? Do you pray for you? "God, can you restore me? Can you quiet my mind? Can you help me make wise and better decisions? Show me where I need help. God, help me receive support instead of always being the support." A couple weeks ago, I had to pray for a team. I literally sat there and said, my sister said, "You need help. You officially have reached your capacity, ma'am, because I'm always doing so much. I've been that way my whole life. I never been in one thing. I was in poetry, basketball, acting, braiding hair, and rapping at the same time. All my school years. I've always been involved in multiple things. And because I come from community, I'm always helping people. So much to the point where I'm like, I'm tired. I can't do this. I'm about to crash out." Yeah, go get help. God, I need a team. I have a team, but I'm talking about a personal team. I need a personal assistant. I don't know if y'all follow me on social media, baby. It got so bad, I had to put it. I need a nanny. I need a personal assistant. I need a lawn care, somebody do my lawn care. I need somebody to come clean my house once or twice a week. All paid positions, but damn it, I need help. I can't do everything. I can no longer be Superwoman 24/7. Especially with my children. And we thinking like my daughter in college now, my oldest daughter, we thinking it gets easier. No, she have stuff that she still has to deal with as an adult, as a young adult, walking into being a woman. That's added pressure for me. mainly because everything I do, there is no excuse. I can't come at her how I used to come at her when she was a kid. She's an 18-year-old young lady. That stuff don't work. That's just like on Michael movie when Joe Jackson thought he was about to whoop Mike. Mike said, man, if you don't go on somewhere with that belt, bruh. Well, I ain't no kid. I'm walking right up out this studio. And you fire. How about that? He sent his daddy the walking papers, man. You cannot come at your children the way that you used to when they are young adults. You have to be an example. You have to show them. This is how you communicate with adults, being mature, right? And here's another parenting practice. Repair instead of perfection. You're going to lose patience sometimes. Let's get rid of the fantasy. You are human. We are human, right? If you snap, it's unfair. Repair it. Baby, I'm sorry. I was overwhelmed, but I shouldn't have spoken to you like that. I apologize to my kids all the time. If they get an inch, a whiff of me, like, because I am funny. I'm funny. Like, I like to rib. We rib. We do all of that. But if they get a whiff that I'm overstimulated and they know where I'm at, man, hey, listen, I ain't going to tell you again. Leave me alone. And it's like, I don't like your tone. No, they, man, what? Smacking lips. And now you, who you smacking your lips at? Hold on, Jazz. You was out of order first. You was out of order. Just because they're your child don't mean that you can't apologize. We have to get used to apologizing. And I know a lot of us come from the generations where parents don't apologize, but be the first. When you are wrong, apologize to your child and watch how quick they apologize to you when they are wrong. Or watch how quickly they're going to second guess doing something that goes against what you told them not to do. You have to start apologizing to your children as well, right? Do you really realize what that teaches? It teaches accountability, humility, emotional language, repair. Your child learns. Making a mistake doesn't mean the relationship is destroyed. That is huge, and it applies everywhere, at work, friendships, relationships. Sometimes protecting peace isn't preventing every conflict, is learning how to repair after conflict. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth.